This is part B of the coming economic tribulation. Now let's pick it up where we left off on the other side. We are creatures of comfort, and if such have grown accustomed to our comfort zone. We will never be moved to anything unless our comfort zones are invaded. I can tell you that if you lack understanding and knowledge of the times, your comfort zones are about to be wrecked. Our standard of living, incredible compared to the rest of the world, and our ease of life have literally disconnected us from reality because we've all been deceived by the money system that is here. Just what is that reality? It may surprise some of you, but the reality is we are at war. There is a war that is raging right here on earth as well as a spiritual war that's being raged in the heavenlies. It is a war of world views. The kingdom of God is being viciously opposed by the kingdom of Satan. This war is real with very high stakes, the salvation of men, women, boys, and girls throughout the whole world. It's going to affect everything that there is. Now, let me just say this. You need to understand. Number one, you have to have faith and trust in God, as well as do some of the things that you know you can do. See? Now, remember this ad, I think it is Greenleaf Lending Tree, or thelendingtree.com. Here's this guy. He's a real nice-looking guy. He's driving this new car. He belongs to the country club. He has this nice new house, and he's out there in a barbecue, and he turns over a hamburger, and he says, "How do I do all of this?" He says, "I'm up to debt to my eyeballs, and I can barely make my interest payments." See? Now, that is a reality of millions and millions and millions and millions of people, you see. Now, I'm going to follow this up with a sermon on tithing, because tithing is one of the disciplines that God has given us so that we learn to manage our money and not do foolish and stupid things. Yes, we have to use Caesar's money, as Jesus said. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things to God the things that are God's. Okay. So we need to understand that we are not going to buy our way out of this. We are not going to make ourselves immune from it. We are not going to live fat and sassy in our homes while people are out on our corner with cups, you know, looking for pennies or nickels. Now, on page 37, he begins the signs of economic chaos and things that are coming. And he uses Isaiah 3 to go through it. So I'll let you analyze that, but I'll just summarize the signs. The first sign is economic chaos and shortages of basic necessities of life. Now, these are the signs of God's judgment. The second sign of God's hand of judgment upon a nation is a void in leadership and a very low quality of officials that govern us. And when we go, just reading these, I just want you to think how many of these things are actually happening today. Third sign that we see as divine judgment upon a nation is children ruling over a nation. The fourth sign of judgment upon a nation is civil unrest and insurrection, which is coming. And I'll tell you this, when it happens here in California, Aztlán will become a reality. You know what Aztlán is? It is the movement among the Mexicans not spoken of, the reason why they have inundated California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and southern Colorado is because that belongs to Mexico, and we stole it from them, so they are coming back in the form of workers and population, so when the time comes, they will take it back. You say, how could that happen? Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Okay, if you don't believe me, go online and look up Aztlán, and you will be surprised what you will find on the internet. See, it's Azt, A-Z-T-L-A-N-D, Aztlán. No D on the end. Azatlan. Okay. Okay. Deuteronomy 28. Let's go there. It's prophesied to happen. It's going to come. Now, you read the Proverbs. The Proverbs say, the wise man sees the trouble coming ahead and avoids it. See. Now, you're not going to be taken out of the world. Now, here's what it says here. Verse 43, Deuteronomy 28. We've covered these things before, but I want to reiterate it here again. Because these are all the judgments. You can take the judgments that I'm reading here in the book that are based on Isaiah 3, and you can go through and expand it even more by looking in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 43, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Do we have millions and millions of strangers in our midst? Yes, we do. California now has a Latino population that is the majority south of San Francisco. They may start out in the fields, but they will end up in the highest offices in the land. You shall come down very low. Now, how low is low? Doesn't tell us, but very low. He shall lend to you, you shall not lend to him. Now, 1980 was a turning point in American financial history. We were a creditor nation up to that point. That means that we had more money coming into America than we had going out to other countries. Now it's totally reversed. All of the debt is owned by strangers. If you have a mortgage on your home and a bank services it, don't be too surprised if that mortgage is not in bundles of thousands of other mortgages which are sold on the mortgage market, the discount secondary market for mortgages, and the title to those actually sit in Tokyo and Beijing and other countries of the world. Now, they want to be paid. This is true. Same thing with all of our debts. I'll read a little bit about this from some other news clipping. Okay? Now, at the same time, verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Because they forgot the main lesson, Deuteronomy 8. God gives the power to give wealth. And he tells you where wealth comes from. It comes from his creation. From the things that he has made. Where you can have all of the produce, the animals, the manufactured goods thereof, to get oil, coal, iron, copper, brass, tin, gold, silver, platinum, titanium. All of these things God created. You throw in their precious jewels. God gave those, see. So we didn't serve God with gladness of heart for the abundance of all that he gave. Now, verse 52, we've read these before. Now, let's read it again. And he shall besiege you in all your gates and your high and your fenced walls. Now, we've got the anti-missile missile, don't we? You can't get it any higher in defense, can you, than that? shall come down, wherein you trusted throughout all your land, and he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God gives you. And he talks about cannibalism. Now, here in California, we've got the Donner Pass Party, right? How did they survive through one of the worst winters when they made the bad decision of trying to go up through Donner Pass? The strongest ate the weakest. Now, if you want a real lesson, you get Josephus and you read the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And Josephus was an eyewitness. God gives it. Now, we'll cover some other things. There are many other scriptures we can add to it, but let's go on here. Let me finish. The fifth sign, he says, as an indicator of God's judgment upon a nation, will be the fact that things will get so bad that no one will want to be in charge. The sixth sign of God's judgment upon a nation is the fact that they allow godless humanist leaders to be in charge of a nation. In my opinion, the seventh sign of God's judgment is a nation upon a nation is the most glaring of the signs present in the United States and among the world today, homosexuality. The eighth sign, I believe, he says, is allowing women to rule over a nation and permitting deceit and deception to run rampant at the highest levels of our government. True. That was on page 38, 39, and 40. Just to give you an example, what has happened to the British Empire since Queen Elizabeth has been ruling for 40 years, or better, 50 years, whatever, over 50? The absolute decline of the British Empire, right? What has happened to England? And it's happened because they've forsaken the Word of God. The place where the English Bible began with William Tyndale is now the pit of Satanism and witchcraft and deception and a people that have been captive into socialism and have lost an empire, have lost their wealth, have lost their ability. Now, I could also say a lot about America because it's headed the same way, but we'll save that for another time. Page 47. Again, there is a war of worldviews going on. Satan doesn't want what's really going on behind the scenes to be understood. Another aspect of Satan's plan, down the page a little bit, of containment is complacency, satisfaction with the present condition. He wants you to believe you're doing the best you can do and that there is nothing else greater that you can do financially or otherwise. I must repeat once again that this war we're in is not a spectator sport. Victory cannot be won without a fight. That has to do with overcoming Satan. He thinks we can overcome the economic situation. We can only get it in a situation where we can survive reasonably well. That's most what can be expected here. Page 48. Organized religion is probably Satan's most effective tool of containment. The word religion comes from the Greek word religio, which means to return to bondage. What did I do? Nine sermons on why God hates religion. And when I gave that, there were some people offended. Eh? Listen, ask yourself this question. What am I not willing to give up for God? See, we all have to come to God, don't we? See, that's why, brethren, very important for us to understand, as I've said before, that my whole goal in teaching and preaching is to teach you the truth so you can have a direct relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, so you can believe in them. I'm just a man, subject to all the pulls of the flesh unless I grow and change and repent and overcome, just like you. But if given the job of being a teacher of God's Word, I better teach the truth. And I better make sure that it is the truth. And I better make sure that likewise there's not one thing that I have that I hold back from God. Remember what he said to the rich man. Go sell all that you have. See, he wasn't willing to give up the deceitfulness of riches. Remember the warning in 1 Timothy 6 about the deceitfulness of riches, and money is a root of all evil. Not the only one, but a root. See? So here it is. Religion is simply man's attempt to reach God with his own rules and regulations. In other words, if you want to join my religious group, you must follow all my rules and regulations and be submitted to the religious order, then you are accepted. Very clearly stated, isn't it? You know, like Jesus told the scribe who answered correctly about loving God. And the scribe said, if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, that's more than all burnt offerings. And what did Jesus say? He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So likewise, when you read this book, you will see he is not far from the kingdom of God. All right, now let's come to page 130. He also states in the book, you'll find out, there is the legislative, there is the executive, and there's the judiciary branch, but the most important one who really rules and governs this nation is the Federal Reserve. And as Rothschild said, you give me control of money, and I don't care who runs the politics. He also shows how the Federal Reserve Act came into being. Very simply put, very good, very good. Now, page 130, last paragraph. In the event that there should be a run on the banks, the Federal Reserve requested, lobbied for, and was successful in getting passed the Monetary Control Act of 1980, a provision of that act allows the Federal Reserve to reduce its reserve requirements to zero. Now then, he explains about money. Most books about the Federal Reserve get so complicated and have such a long history that people get lost and they give up reading it. This one gives a simple, direct, forward explanation which you can understand. If you have any paper money, go ahead and get it out. Because what I want you to understand is this. Your paper money is only a psychological device. What do I mean by that? How can it be psychological if I hold it in my hand? The value that you place on it and other people accept as the value is the psychology behind it. And that is the only backing there is to it. This is total fiat money. In other words, it's your faith in the government. See? Now, most people don't realize it, that there are two United States. One is the United States that was founded by the forefathers. The other one was the one that was done, I think it was in the 30s at the time of FDR. They formed the Corporation of the United States so they could legally borrow. 38. Okay. Now, when it says the full faith and credit of the United States, That means that all the debt that we have owed has been hawked and guaranteed, first of all, by all of our national parks. And all the assets in America. Now, you see this? I've got a $20 bill. Let me read what it says. This note doesn't say this currency. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. It is an IOU. Now, how much is this $20 bill worth in terms of $1940 dollars? It's worth 60 cents and going down rapidly. Okay. How do banks work? They work on what is called a margin. They really have no money. They have paper assets. They have assets which are called deposits. And the deposits are nothing more than bookkeeping entries based upon a check that someone puts in the bank or money from the Federal Reserve that they deposit in the bank. That's an asset. Now then, if they have $100,000 in assets and they have what is called a 10% margin, meaning that of that $100,000, they can turn around and loan out $90,000. Now then, they gain another asset because the loan that was signed by the person who borrowed the $90,000 also becomes an asset in the asset column because it is an account receivable, just to put it in simple terms. They can then take 90% of that $90,000 and loan it out again, and hence on $100,000 they can create out of nothing $1 million worth of deposit money, which is really not money. It's just manipulated within. Now, how do you get paid? Well, everybody gets a check, right? Or if you're on Social Security, it's deposited right into your bank account. Or if you're still one of the holdouts who receives a check, you receive a check. As long as there is confidence in the value of the fiat money that we have, the economy can go along. However, you take business, you take the nation, you take individuals, and the collective amount of debt that is owed is close to $50 trillion or more. And remember this, the borrower is the slave to the lender. We're living on borrowed time. Now, let's come here to page 145. Okay. 137, he shows the comparison. If at the time of Christ's birth, 3% compounded interest on a debt of $1, you would end up with 2, followed by 48 digits, compounded interest. Versus simple interest, it would be $59 and $118 respectively. So I'll let you read it. You see, bankers, here at 137, just before PFA banking, you see, bankers are not loaning you money. Bankers are loaning you credit of the bank. That's what they're doing. PFA banking, plucked from air. That's right, plucked from air. I'll let you read it. Deposit insurance, already covered that. Come to page 144. What was once the greatest financial power in the world is now hinged on total economic collapse. Paralyzed by skyrocketing debt, the U.S. government is powerless to protect itself and its citizens from the threat of an impending fallout. Now we're going to see the whole world stuck with trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of American debt and American dollars, which has in effect been the world currency to date. Now the euro is trying to make a struggle to get on top of it, but being overvalued, it isn't going to go anywhere at the present time. Paralyzed by skyrocketing debt, the U.S. government is paralyzed to protect itself and so forth. The lobbyists, special interest group, elected officials, and the New World Order operatives have slowed the engine of spending reform to almost a standstill. The government can't control its own spending in time to prevent a collapse because there is neither the will nor the courage to do what is necessary to change, and that is proved by the fact that they just voted to increase the debt limit by $800 billion at one fell swoop. If foreigners stop financing our budget and trade deficits, we have to raise interest rates to keep the dollar from collapsing. I believe the interest of the federal debt will soon exceed the annual personal income tax revenues. As a result, now, don't forget, it's not just government debt, it's all kinds of debt. All debt. Getting 50 to 60 trillion that is due. Now, when I say debt, that means someone, somewhere in the world is holding a mortgage that you signed. T-bills that the government has guaranteed. Municipal bonds that cities and state bonds have done. Business bonds. Business stocks. It is all a paper house of cards. And just like the domino thing, remember they had a big deal, domino thing here recently, where it took them weeks and weeks to build this, and they had millions of dominoes, and they started it out, and it took an hour and a half to knock down the last domino. That's a good example of what's going to happen when it starts to collapse. If they stop financing the debts, raise the interest rate, as a result, an already devalued currency will lose more ground as the government will have to increase the money supply that is printing it to pay its bills. Perhaps the most devastating consequences of this economic disorder will be its effect on American citizens. The savings and investments of most Americans will be completely wiped out. Again, go study Argentina. When they defaulted on their debt, the international bankers came in and took deposits out of banks, pension funds, personal savings to pay the debt, and they were left penniless, without retirement, with about 25% unemployment, people having to move out of their homes and into abandoned factories to survive. And we will not be immune from that. The savings and investments of most Americans will be completely wiped out, leaving them penniless in what would be the worst financial crisis in history. Then he says, page 145, a world economic collapse is extremely likely in the next few years. And this is second printing 2003. We are already 2 years away from it. Those unprepared may stand naked before a crisis unseen in the United States since the Civil War. Page 184. No, we won't go there yet. He talks about What is money? There's a section on money, and I'll just review it for you. Real money, as God created it to be, is gold. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came from the south? She didn't come with CDs and investment certificates. She came with gold and silver and frankincense, didn't she? Gold is the real key for money. Silver. Any metals. Jewelry. These dollars. You know, I remember when I could buy Oro wheat berry bread for $1.69 a loaf. It is now $3.29 a loaf. Oh, but there's no inflation. Please understand, there's no inflation. See? Okay. Now, let's look at, there's some other warnings here. I mean, it's everywhere. If you have a computer, you go on online, you'll find out. Okay? Now, here's one here talking about what the collapse of the dollar will mean to the world. This is taken from, this was sent to me, it doesn't say where it's from. Slavery of the Anglo-Saxon Nations. Very interesting. There was one day in September this last year when at the Treasury auctions, none of the foreigners showed up to buy. And it literally scared them to death. Because if they don't buy, we're in deep trouble. Well, they were all happy because they came back the next Tuesday in force. So they thought of it as an aberration. I think it was a warning to them that we all collectively decided not to show up just to teach you a lesson. What are you going to do if we stop coming? And remember, the lender owns the borrower. What he has. So they will come and collect. Now, would be a catastrophe, and it will be, and it's coming. Okay, let's look at the solution. When it happens, it's not going to be the end yet. That's our first step way down. Just like Argentina recovered, we'll recover. Now, I have a bold suggestion. The only thing that would work to stave it off for a while. Congress would have to pass a law that we revoke all of the gift of all of our aid to all nations, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and we will put this into our credit accounts. When you come and sell the bonds back to us, we will deduct 50% of the bonds that you give us off of what you owe us. Now, that'll never happen. Okay? But that would be my solution. Because we've lent out what? Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, right? It just gave it to them. You know, we weren't smart like Joseph. He said, bring in 20%. And then you can come and draw on it later. Oh, no, we said, oh, here, this is yours. Enemies must think, boy, are you stupid? Or what? Okay. So what happens when this takes place? There's going to be set in motion a recovery plan, which will be, I believe, the euro. Not the euro, the Amero. Like the euro, okay? The Amero will first of all combine Canadian dollar, U.S. dollar, and Mexican peso, plus half the nations in South America already have the dollar as their de facto currency. What they could do with that is this. We know that there is a crisis. And what we're going to do is this, since gold will be, and I've said $1,500 an ounce, we'll go ahead and we'll accept it at $1,500 an ounce. You can bring in your dollars and we'll give you, 7 cents on the dollar for it, and you can have these new Amerils. At least you get something back. Okay? That's what I think will happen. Now, what is the final thing in all of this? Now, at the same time, let me just add this. You have the euro, then you have the Amero, you probably have the afro, you probably have the arabo, which will be the dinara that the Arabs have, and then you will have an eastern currency. That's the last step to the mark of the beast. The ultimate in this is to enforce the mark of the beast. All currency will then disappear. Now, for the time being, he suggests that you get some gold and some silver if you can. Now, if you can't, then get out of as much debt as you can. If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, get a fixed mortgage. Because if they inflate it, then you should be able to meet the payments. Whereas, what are you going to do if a little clause you didn't read in your contract says that this rate can be adjusted from 3% to 18%? And now what is that going to do for your payment? It's going to increase it by 6 times, right? Yes, indeed. Now, if you have some real currency on hand, that is gold and silver, after the collapse is over, you will have the means to buy for pennies on the dollar what other people have lost. That will happen. Now then, one other thing you need to remember. The children of this world have greater understanding of monetary things, the unrighteous mammon, than those who are the children of light. Now God will protect us, God will watch over us, even though we may have to suffer. We need to understand that. See. Now, we need to be prudent, but our faith must be in God, totally in everything that we do. God knows this is coming. He prophesied that it would happen. We have read it how many times that it is going to happen. So when it does come, you're going to have some level of preparation so that you won't be totally, absolutely wiped out. Now, I believe this. The first round of this happening, after they reevaluate it, the first thing they're going to do is to help those who are on Social Security to help them to survive. It's one of the first things that they will do. Because we have a lot of seniors in the church. A lot of you only have Social Security. And I hope and pray that that will be the case. But whatever you can do to help cushion what is happening, by all means do so. And since gold is now very expensive, well, it's really not expensive compared to what it's going to be, you might try buying some silver numismatic coins. Now, don't look to me to tell you how to do it and where to do it. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't sell gold and silver. But I'm telling you that it would be wise for you to heed the warning. For you to do whatever you can. Sit down and think about, what can I do? Be honest with yourself. Look at all your debts and ask yourself the question, what can I pay off first? Now, obviously, if you owe a lot on your house, you can't pay that off all at once. It's obvious. Make sure, then, you have a loan with the lowest interest fixed rate possible so you can survive. Okay? Take care of all the credit card debt that you have. Clean it up. Get rid of it. And if you're locked into a credit card thing that the only thing you can do is meet the minimum payment, you are a total slave to the system. And how many people are there out in the world that are doing that? Billions and billions and millions and millions of people, you see. They will end up losing their homes, losing their cars, losing their jobs, losing everything that they have, losing all the possessions that they have, because, you know, it's just like when I talked about that man who says he's in debt up to his eyeballs. See, and I hope most of the brethren in the church are not. Now, how much time do we have left before the collapse comes? Now, the collapse, when it comes, will not be the end. That will just be a giant step down. We'll bounce back. We'll recover somewhat. But we will never, never, never be the same that we were before as a nation. So the only thing you can do is take care of what you can. And then you can read there in Matthew 6. Do not give anxious thought about the physical things, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, the clothes, and, you know, things like this. God takes care of even the animals and the birds. He'll take care of you. But you have to have faith and trust in God. Get your house in order. Take care of it the best you can. And do the best that you can to get out from underneath as much debt as you can. Now, what will happen is this. That will help cushion the blow when it comes. Well, I'm about out of tape. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.